We're going to spend just a few moments. We're breaking from our studying Ecclesiastes tonight, take a break from that. And I want us to spend more time in prayer tonight, but I want us to talk about that subject just for a little bit. And I'm going to ask you to help me by looking up some verses, so I need some volunteers. This is very much a little topical summary here on the subject of prayer before we pray. But I'm going to read these out, and somebody raise your hand just that you'll volunteer. And there's one, two, three, four. There's probably about 10, so you'll know how many there are. Psalm 25, verse 1. All right, Mark, Psalm 25, verse 1. Lamentations 3, 41. Lamentations, good, got that one, 341. Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, thank you. 1 Samuel 1:15, got that? Good. 1 Samuel 1:15. Psalm 116, verse 4. Psalm 116, thank you. Verse 4. You can, ladies, you can do this too. Psalm 27, verse 7. Thank you. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20. Thank you. Like an auction, sort of. So, you know, you move your hand just a little bit, and you just bought a verse. Exodus 32, verse 11. Oh, wait, you already have one. Exodus, Adrian, behave yourself. Exodus 32, verse 11. Thank you. Job, this is the last one. Job 8, verse 5. Job 8, verse 5. Thanks, Roger. Okay, you guys look those up. And when I call on you to read them in just a moment. Yes, sir. Oh. What book do you think it was? Was it Psalm 116, verse 4, maybe? Did anybody else have that one? Psalm 116, verse 4. Because there's no way I can remember all that I just did. Okay. I see. You were not misbehaving, Adrian. You were helping her, is what you're doing. Thank you. That was good. There's a lot we could say about prayer, obviously, but I just wanted to bring you one reminder on that subject. And this coming Sunday's passage in Colossians chapter 4 is also on this topic. But so this will tie in with that. But I just want you to remember that there is not a strict methodology to prayer taught in Scripture. Or to say it another way, the emphasis in Scripture is not on some kind of strict methodology. And sometimes people get caught up into that just a little bit too much. I do understand that Jesus left us a model to pray. We have that, of how to pray. But if you look at Scripture as a whole, you really just find that there are some basic elements in prayer, and that Scripture is not real concerned about whether you did it right or not, okay? For example, the basic elements in prayer would be what? You tell me. Good. Someone else. And confession. Is that what you said? Yes, confession. There'd be an element we find in Scripture, prayer. Praise. Thanksgiving. Supplication, and the other word that goes with that, petition. Okay. So it's intercession and petition that's all under this, really, I guess, category of supplication. You're making a request for something. So, yeah, there you've got the basic, elements of prayer. You know, there's some confession / repentance. There's thanksgiving. There's praise, giving worth to God. There's your supplication. You're making a petition. You're interceding for someone or a personal request. There are a few attitudes, you know, Scripture presents that goes along with prayer, an attitude of humility, an attitude of boldness, really, an attitude of, at the same time, reverence for the Lord. The whole idea of persistency is taught in Scripture. Fervency. You have concepts like earnestness and sincerity. But that's not really a how-to manual, see, the Bible, when it comes to prayer. I mean, again, there's a model, there's elements. But sometimes people, I think, get discouraged and they fear prayer because they think maybe they're not going to do it right, or they got the the elements out of order. I mean, which comes first? Do I do confession first and then Thanksgiving? Or, wait, is it Thanksgiving first and then confession? If I get out of order, God says, no, I'm not hearing your prayer because you're not following the guidelines. I mean, people think that way sometimes. And sometimes that's because of seminars on prayer or little acronyms that we have on prayer, like ACTS, the acronym ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, ACTS. Not a bad model, see, to remember, ACTS. But the point is not, okay, I've got to do adoration first, and then what comes second? Okay, confess. Lord, I confess my sins, then what's next? It's not that. It's simpler than that. Okay, there's some basic elements, some basic attitudes, but not a strict methodology. What order the elements are in is not a point in Scripture. And frankly, whether or not every one of those elements is in every prayer is not an issue in Scripture. I mean, there are sometimes, I think my prayer is completely confession. You know, there's a lot of those, actually. Or completely thanksgiving, only thanksgiving. Don't get caught up in thinking, well, I better throw in a confession just to complete the acronym here. So it's with that thought in mind that I just wanted to read these verses before we pray tonight. Because there are these verses that use synonyms for prayer. It just tells you what prayer is in other words. So let's see what the other words are, the other kind of concepts. Psalm 25, verse 1. So you're going to have to read it loudly. Psalm 25, verse 1. Who had it? You did. And what is prayer called in that verse? I'm lifting up my soul to the Lord. Very, very picturesque way for Scripture to describe what prayer is. It's lifting up our soul. Lamentations 3:41. Another way to say the same thing. Those are very close, by the way. Lifting up our soul. There's when we're lifting up our hearts to the Lord. Okay. I like Psalm 62, verse 8. What are we doing, according to that verse? We are pouring out our hearts to the Lord. Not a methodology. What do you do when you pray? Pour out your heart to the Lord. 1 Samuel 1:15. Soul toward the Lord. And there's that case in Scripture where the priest saw her acting in a very bizarre manner and thought she was drunk. And that wasn't it at all. I mean, it sort of leaves you the impression that there's no telling what she was doing. I mean, maybe she was lying down on the floor and she was heaving and acting, and from a distance, what appeared to be something bizarre. Oh, you've been drinking. And she says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. For a child, that was the burden of her heart. And she wasn't thinking, you know, I want to pray about this issue that's such a burden. So let's see, which is it, adoration and confession? No, I want to make sure I get it right or God won't answer my prayer. Listen, I don't know what else she was doing. It was something. It gave the impression she was drunk. She just poured out her soul to the Lord. Psalm 116, verse prayer, then, is calling upon the name of the Lord. Why would Scripture describe prayer that way? Calling on the name of the Lord. Does that mean just, you know, saying His name to get His attention? What do you think it means? It has to do with His character. The name in Scripture always is tied with character. Name represents something. And so to call upon the name of the Lord means I'm calling upon Him to act according to every aspect of His character. That's what I want to do. I call upon Your name, Lord. You could even say those words. Next would be 27, verse 7. This one, great, I think. 27, 7 Psalms. Prayer is called what? Crying to God. Crying out to Him. I'm not saying we're going to do every one of these in a corporate time of prayer. Most of our prayer, though, is not corporate. Most prayer, I mean, the great volume of prayer, is going to be individual prayer. Listen, when you're alone with the Lord, or you're driving in your car, or whatever, I mean, I can think still today, scenes that flood my mind in particular occasions in my life that were very, very difficult, where all I knew to do was just to cry out to God. I mean, I've had some prayers that basically started like this, oh God. And I didn't know what else to say. You know, you ever had prayers like that where you just, oh God. And Is that not prayer because it's not complete? No, that's crying out to God. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20 says the same way, but with a different word. 2 Chronicles 32, 20. Crying out to heaven. 2 Chronicles 32, 20. So there, it's the same thing, crying out to God, crying out to heaven. It's a way for the Bible to express His exalted, transcendent nature, that we're not crying out to another person, a buddy. You know, this is the transcendent God of heaven that we're crying out to, and He hears us. Exodus 32, verse 11. Described there. What is He doing? Pleading. Pleading with the Lord. Sometimes that's what we're doing. We're pleading with Him. For God to intervene. For pleading that His will be done. Pleading for comfort. Pleading for joy in our heart because we're so burdened. And lastly, Job 8, verse 5. There's actually kind of two things in this verse, so listen carefully. Job 8, verse 5. Verbs there. Seeking and imploring. Just so you'll know, imploring is another way to say, to make a supplication. You know, you're asking Him something. You've got a request there. But it's a very strong way to say it, to implore. It's not just something flippant. Seeking God, that's prayer. I'm seeking Him. Just not so much then a certain answer as much as I'm seeking Him. I just want Him to intervene. I just want His will to be done. See? So there's many more besides those that we just looked at. But really, that's prayer. Okay, not a methodology. Sometimes it's all confession. Sometimes it's all thanksgiving. Sometimes it's all, you know, perhaps supplication just because of the burden of the moment. At the same time, there's always that concept of even though I'm pouring out my heart and pleading with Him about something, yet it's to make that request, as Philippians says, with thanksgiving. You know, that if nothing else, as I've cried out to God, if I didn't necessarily go to be confessing something, I was just so burdened about something, the one thing I do try to remember is for there to be thanksgiving. What can we be thankful for? Especially when we're crying out and we're burdened. We're thankful that He hears. What else? Thankful that He's going to answer one way or the other. We're thankful for His sovereignty and omnipotence, which is also then a way of saying we're thankful then that whatever He does is what's right. You know? It's not so much thankful that you're going to do what I'm asking, Lord, because I'm following the methodology, but I'm just thankful that whatever it is You do is what's right. Prayer ends up being this incredible way then for me to align myself with God, His will. See? Sometimes we think prayer is getting Him to align Himself with us. That's the other way around. So ultimately the point that I'm making with those few verses before we spend some time in prayer is advertising phrase. Just do it, okay? Just do it. Some people don't pray just because it's overwhelming, you know, either, you know, really, if I can't pray for an hour, then I probably shouldn't pray at all, you know. Listen, it doesn't take a whole lot of time, you know, to just pour out your heart and cry to God about something. 5 minutes is better than nothing. Just do it. Don't worry about whether you're doing it correctly or not. Just do it. Just seek God. Just cry out to God. Don't wait until you understand how to pray perfectly before you start praying. Again, a lot of this has to do with what's in a private context. In a corporate context, our prayers are even ministering to other people then that listen as well. You know, so I understand that. But just during the week, you're driving in your car, you're at home, you know, you're getting ready, you're mowing the grass, whatever. I'm convinced, and I'm going to preach on this one some Sunday night, I think. I'm going to do a message on sleep, what the Bible has to say about sleep. What promotes a good night's sleep? Scripture actually comments on that. It also comments on what to do when you're not sleeping. And one of the purposes, I'm convinced, after tracking that through Scripture, one of the purposes is, in fact, there's even a psalm that says this, but you'll have to wait until I teach on it sometime. There's a psalm that says, basically, God, you're holding my eyelids open. It's a very picturesque way to say that I can't sleep. Why? Because God's holding my eyelids open. Why? Because he's got something he wants you to do. You know? That time in the night becomes a 2 o'clock in the morning. We've got a choice. We can either focus on our problem. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, it is extremely big, this problem. It's looming inside the room. It's big and huge and just suffocating. Or we can use our time for supplication, seeking God, you know, crying out to him. Okay. I am very comforted in the fact that, you know, the whole Scripture says the Holy Spirit's praying on my behalf as well. You know, the Lord intervenes for us. Don't think that your simple prayer, "Oh God, help," that that's not accomplishing something. It's accomplishing something because the Holy Spirit's even praying with you on that. Okay. Well, what I want us to do tonight is then spend. I got my floss there. I don't want that. I do want my pen. Spend some time in prayer. Just some seasons of prayer. I think we'll all stay together. But maybe just some particular times of prayer for certain things. I'll just ask maybe two or three of you to pray as the Lord leads your heart to pray. And let's just spend a few moments in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord, just thanking him and